Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Rich Keefe on the bye. NFL Sunday rolls on Sports Radio WEEI. Christian Fourier in Foxborough, best yet broadcast booth.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Curran in Parts Unknown. He's brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lepresti, the hair doctors of Tommy Curran, among others, at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
No, Keefe.
Keefe on the bye this week.
He's like week.
One of his seven weddings he's had this fall, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Still, two of my favorite guys in the area. Really in the region.
Really? All of New England? Like the entire New England region?
Yep. Not even in the media. Wow. Not even in sports media. Just favorite guys. Guys I really enjoy.
Well, it's very nice of you to say, Tom.
I don't know if he's just making that up, but I'm going to go with sincerity.
My self-esteem, I have a low self-esteem this morning, so I'm going to take that.
I'm trying to tell people, you know, if I care about them, I'm gonna make a practice and a habit of letting them know I care.
Are you
about
like sick? Are you gonna die or something like that? Is that why you're like, hey,
we're all gonna die, Christian? All gonna die. I don't care how nice a day it is out there. We're all gonna die. Let's start telling everybody that you love them. Okay, love you guys.
All right, good. Really weird.
So we're off to a good start here.
Whoa! You just talked about vampire werewolf sex, and I'm the weird one. Sorry. Yeah,
no, that's okay. I can do that for another 40 minutes. What's it called?
A wamp? What's
it? No, werevamp. Yeah, that's what it's
called. Werevamp.
Again, that's Keith's strength.
No, it's a werepire.
You need a silver. You need a wooden stake made out of silver. There you go. That's how you kill him.
A wooden stake made out of silver. This guy did not finish at Colorado.
He definitely did not. And he was concussed a few dozen times, I think, in the NFL. Let's start. Speaking of concussed tight ends, he's not concussed, but he's not playing, Tom. What do you know about the Gronk injury, and how badly does it impact the offense today?
I think it's significant, not just for the simple reason that he's a great player, but Jacob Hollister not being out there as well leaves you really with only an option of – you know, a glorified tackle in Dwayne Allen to be out there. He's not a threat in the passing game. So I would imagine you're going to see a lot of spread with a lot of wide receivers on the field. And if not that, then, you know, they'll be in, you know, Devlin in front of Michelle trying to bang the ball up inside a little bit without the tight end assistance. So you might just see spread a hell of a lot more than we would normally see lining up and going after. In terms of Gronk, anytime, guys, as you guys know, Gronk and back are in the same sense. It's a concern. His first back situation came when he was 19 in 2009 at Arizona. Had that addressed. He stared at his football mortality then. Thought about walking away from the game and taking the $4 million tax-free insurance policy that he could have. And he decided, you know what, I'm going to go to the NFL. And that's why he went then. Next back surgery in 2013. And then one more in 2016. So, you know, for a guy who has always understood that there's a finite amount of time he'll be able to play this game, and really in the way I think that his career and the way he regards the game has changed, I think, since he was injured in 2016. And it's certainly concerning, not just on a football level, but you know, is this going to impact him long term, and will this impact his future plans?
Well, see, so that's if I'm the Chicago Bears and I wake up and I sit there and I go, okay, so Gronk isn't playing. That is, to me, is like going to make me feel really good, because Now, mm-hmm. you're not giving up two guys to take out one guy. And you can just play a lot more, I don't want to say carefree, but stress-free.
Right. You can do that, but you still, I mean, the Patriots are going to look at that. And I'm sure that Vic Fangio, their offensive coordinator, is going to go, well, great, they don't have Gronk. They still have Edelman. They still have Josh Gordon. The way they're running the football right now is no joke. And that's why I think the Khalil Mack situation is going to be interesting to watch. If I'm the Patriots, Christian, agree with this or disagree, you see him on the field, and I know you might not be able to match up necessarily with Michelle and James Devlin on the field at the same time Mack is. They might switch him off if they see, you know, James White on the field and have Mack come in. But I'd run right at him. I would run right at Khalil Mack and see how capable he is.
Yeah, see, I think just the opposite. I think if you're going to run at somebody, you're going to run at Floyd. He's tall. He's skinny. And I think ultimately, like, that's where the Patriots would have a slight edge running the football would be at him. I don't think – I know, you know, Phil Perry put up this thing earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, about all the times that Lady and Waddle went against Khalil Mack, and it was last year when he was with the Raiders. He also went against Joey Bosa. So he's held his own, and he's gone against, you know, tough defenders in the past. I just feel like this defense is not the Miami defense with all their injuries. This isn't, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs with being just terrible. It's not the Indianapolis Colts. Much more challenging, a lot more experience, and they got embarrassed last week. So I feel like them moving the football in all phases is going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge adjustment without Gronk, period. I mean, they even if he only catches three balls as he did last week, the mere threat of him being out there alters the way a defense has to play. So what you said at the outset is 1,000% right. But I still think that in terms of neutralizing Khalil Mack, they get the ball out so quickly. The scheme is so smart. Yep. Brady is so adept at it. McDaniels. So it's I cannot imagine a guy who played 69 plays last week on a bad ankle, didn't practice until Friday, is going to be a game wrecker today. He'll probably be better than 60% of the defensive players in the league still, but he's not going to be Khalil Mack.
God, there's this thing that's called Tordal. Oh, it's awesome, by the way. It is
no, honestly,
fabulous.
Woo!
Give me some Tordal, baby.
Does it obliterate? I mean, it blocks, straight blocks
yes.
the paint.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it wears off at halftime.
No, God, no. You feel that thing until, like, Tuesday morning. No, it's fabulous. No, it's unbelievable. A couple of those, a couple of Tylenol, and you're good.
And he's already got his contract.
Yes, he's already got his contract. Yeah, I don't know. I think – I just feel like he's just – sometimes, you know, when guys don't practice until Friday, nowadays, like, I don't know, what are they really missing, you know? And is it just one of those things where – you know, they're treating him with kid gloves because he is who he is, and they did pay him all that money, and, like, he doesn't need the reps anyways because really set the edge and get the passer, right? That's it.
He didn't do squat last week after he hurt himself. Nothing. Nothing, Christian.
Well, but Tom, it was so hot. It was, like, really
hot.
Yeah,
the heat,
hot.
And today he gets
you know, it was
he gets,
the humidity.
It's so
he gets,
hot.
You know,
and
he gets water, you know, they, today, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have shade on their sidelines in Miami. You heard about that too, right?
They should. Everybody should get in the blue tent. Everybody in the medical tent.
See, you mentioned, Tom, that, you know, Devlin and Michelle and running the football. I think in most cases against an opponent like this, that's what Bill Belichick is going to would want to do. Protect Tom Brady. Don't put him in harm's way with Waddle in there for Cannon and no Gronkowski. The threat of the pass rush by the Bears. Let's get out of here and let's protect Brady and get a win. I just don't think that their defense, the Pats defense, is going to be able to slow the Bears down enough to be able to do that. This offense is very Chief-like. Matt Nagy knows them inside and out. And they got some guys in Cohen and Gabriel that with their speed, man, they're going to give the Patriots defense fits.
1,000%. If Mitch Trubisky, despite his 70% completion percentage, is able to deliver the ball. I think that, you know, and Albert Breer has been on with us on Quick Slants, and he was on Opening Drive today. And, you know, he said that there's a lot of thought in terms of him, Trubisky, not Albert, being kind of a one-read-and-go guy. And if there's any team and defense that can make things confusing for a young quarterback, it's the Patriots. So we spent a lot of time talking about how it would impact Pat Mahomes. I think we might see greater impact today on Mitch Trubisky. I understand not having Gronk out there. Mm-hmm. To me, the bigger concern is how will the Patriots perform on the road?
Yeah.
And it's not just matchups. Christian, I think you could probably speak to this too, but remember the 2000, I think it was the 2009 and then 2010 Patriots. They were like 1-8 on the road or 1-7 on the road. The only win that they had was in London against Tennessee or somebody. And they just labored on the road. And I think that this team too, Tampa Bay was the team they beat. I think this team, you know, needs to prove that it can do it on the road because 34-6 so far in the first two games, regardless of the personnel that they had or didn't have, they need to hit the ground running against Chicago.
Well, it's funny. We mentioned that earlier too. Just like this, they've won at home. You got a lot of confidence, put up a lot of points, 38 points, 43 points. And they've been able to regain their confidence, but they still haven't done squat on the road. You're right. And I would say this is a huge challenge for them, not only matching the intensity, but at the same time going against a team that's kind of pissed off right now. So to me, that's got to be part of the equation. And how does Bill convince these guys?
Yeah, and after the, a huge win last week and three big wins in a row that in which they've answered, you know, all the doubt and skepticism that swirled about whether or not offensively they would be able to perform and then defensively whether they could stop anyone. So that over the last 3 weeks, they've done a terrific job, especially in the first halves of games, neutralizing any chance for the other team to come back. But then last week's breakdowns, to me, I'm going to be fascinated, by the way, if there are any over 40 or 50 yard drives that take less than five plays, Belichick will lose his mind. I mean, they cannot keep Devin McCourty. God bless him, you know. But I mean, it's almost six touchdowns in two weeks.
Did you hear? Like
they're
Bill
just so slow
talking
on
about,
defense. Yeah.
Well, no, Bill actually he didn't like. I guess technically throw him under the bus, but
why is anyone saying that he didn't technically do that?
Generally speaking, you know what throwing somebody under the bus is to me. Is like this guy we can't trust him. That to me is throwing the guy under the bus. But I guess you're right, and it's really uncharacteristic for as far as what I've been used to with Bill when it comes to his players. Like he doesn't overpraise them, and he doesn't necessarily kill them either.
No, he laid 21 points at Devin's feet.
Yeah, said what are you gonna do about this?
Who's gonna have a good day when you're doing that? So to me, what was the purpose of doing that? To me, it was to reassert that there are no sacred cows, whether it's Tom Brady and when Bill's talked about turnovers, when he'll say, yeah, you know, we haven't been able to make it through a game without an interception or a turnover. That to me is a point being made to Brady. This was much more direct. And I think, look, he deserves it. It's 2 weeks of multiple touchdowns on one of your best and most highly paid leaders. So to point it out, I think, would certainly make other players on the team, not just us, he's not doing it for us, Belichick isn't, make other players on the team sit up and say, wow, Dev's going to get blasted when he plays poorly. Imagine what he's going to do to me. Is that a good read on that, Christian?
No. I was just, when you were saying, I was like, some of his best coaching jobs have not been on the field. It's been in the meeting rooms and between the guys' ears, right? Just like challenging them and like just doing whatever he needs to do to get the most out of them. But that to me, with a guy that he loves and respects, you know, he's a Rutgers guy, you know, for him to kind of really openly challenge him and call him out, it's sending a message to everybody.
I remember in 2012 when McCourty had been playing corner still, was really struggling, had a bad game in that 31-30 loss at Baltimore. When Dennis Pitta turned him inside out, went back and scored on him. And we hammered him. Is that music? What the hell is that?
What is that?
That is the shed that I'm staying in. We're being attacked by Werevamp.
Fair enough.
Werevamp.
But McCourty then went to Buffalo the next week, had a pick, played well. And Belichick made a point in the post games of saying, you know, Devin had to put up with a lot of crap this week. I would bet on him anytime. So this is the flip side of that for that player.
Tom, last one for me, going back to the offense for a second. So it's 6-7 targets a game that Rob Gronkowski usually gets from Brady. If we think they're going to have to throw the ball to stick with this Bears offense, they make their big plays downfield. Who do you expect to be the guy who sees a share of that? Is it somebody that steps up and is more part of the offense now with Gronk out?
My natural inclination is to immediately say Josh Gordon. You know, Josh Gordon would be the guy that I would think would be the recipient of some of those looks, but do you just then see more throws to Edelman, who is now in his third week back, and give him a heavier load to deal with? And I think he's up to it. So you have so many options, and that's what the thing is with Gronkowski being down. It's happened before. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. The ball comes out fast. They have a more capable running game, I think, even including the periods when LeGarrette Blount was here. And I love LeGarrette Blount, but the way they're running the ball now, I think until they stop him on the ground, this running game is only going to get more and more featured and more relied upon by Josh McDaniels. Because I think it's one of the most interesting stories about this team, because I think it's changing its personality just a little.
All right, last one for me real quick. Dwayne Allen, over under targets. I'm going to go 6.
Whoa! Very in the under on that.
Come on!
He
has minus 4 yards receiving this year. It'd be a thrill for him just to get into the positive yardage today.
Isn't this the perfect situation? They're desperate now. They don't have any other tight ends. Like you look around the room and go, "Well, I guess we got to like throw it to him."
But once you do that twice and he looks like a grizzly bear smacking a salmon around, then you're going to say, I'm not doing that anymore.
It's still the biggest anomaly I've ever. It's the weirdest situation.
Oh, you're just mad because you put your stock in him and he dropped the first pass he saw last year.
Kristen's just pissed that he was born too early, where Dwayne Allen gets what Dwayne Allen gets.
Well, and all good for you. I just saw Luke Stocker catch a touchdown pass for Tennessee. He's still in this league. Could you pick him to the Pats win or lose today? Did you pick him, Tommy?
Patriots are going to win. It's going to be closer than we thought.
I got them losing.
Okay.
But I had them losing yesterday, too.
I'm on a serious cold snap anyway. I have not been able to get the measure of this football team.
Okay. You'll figure it out this week. Tom, thanks. Enjoy the game today.
All right, guys. Take care.
Tommy Curran brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard, my guy, Dr. Matt Lopresti, 1-800-GET-HAIR. We will come back and reset what just happened in London, where yeah, Mike Vrabel's an idiot. We'll come back and discuss next.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mudd, and Keith is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplify. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. More of NFL Sunday right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mariota looking around, end zone, tipped and incomplete.
We'll give credit to Mike Vrabel and being aggressive, but trying to hit a slant in the back of the end zone just wasn't there for the Titans.
Yeah, again, you're back on the 1 yard line. I'm doing what I do best, and that's run the football. Somehow with a big running back in Derrick Henry and Marcus Mariota's legs on the option. But again, to me, that's bad football, not taking this game to overtime from Mike Vrabel, as well as they played in the second half. They've won the second half, so why take that risk of going for two? Now you lose a ball game.
You heard the call there by Gumbel. You heard Adam Archuleta, and you heard Bruce Arians on the call, CBS.
It was Trent Green.
I get my guys on TV confused.
Yeah, one's a quarterback.
One played safety. Very good-hearted.
Both white guys, though. They're both middle-aged white guys. Come on.
The play there, it's in London. Chargers up big. Titans storm back. They get the touchdown to make it 21-20. They run. They go for two. And so they go for two on a rollout. They get the flag, so they get half the distance. So they're at the one-yard line. They run an empty set formation, 3-4-5 wide. Derrick Henry not involved, their big Alabama running back. Not in the field. Mariota runs a slant to the back of the end zone as some scrub, because the Tennessee receiving corps stinks like garbage anyway. And it's incomplete. And so you have two problems here for me, Christian, with this final call. It does go final. Chargers win, hold on, 21-20. If you had the Titans plus 6.5, you've won your first bet of the day.
To me, that's bad football.
It's bad football because if you had kicked the extra point and gone to overtime, You had proven already in the second half you had slowed down the San Diego Chargers. So instead of having to convert a fourth and two, all you needed was one defensive stop of the Chargers, Christian, in overtime.
Yep.
You get the ball, go kick a field goal and win. That's all you had to do. Instead, you set yourself up where you have to get this. It was 1 yard, and you try to get a yard with some of the dumbest offensive play calling I've ever seen in my life. So you compounded the dumb mistake of going for to go for two by not running the ball with Derrick Henry or Marcus Mariota. So all around, I'm going to be against Mike Vrabel on this. I get it. The numbers say go for two and blah, blah, blah. This is a dumb, dumb yeah. call by Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I always feel like coaches that go for two have like this this personality that they're trying to create, like this connection with their players, right? The players, yeah, let's go for it, coach. Yeah, go for it. Fourth down, let's go for it. Yeah, go for two. Yeah, let's win it right now. Like Jack Del Rio had that with the Raiders a couple years ago. He was going for two and trying to win the game, and he was having a lot of success, and the team loved it, right? The moment it doesn't work, you're like, dude, what are you doing? So part of me as a player, I like it. Like, listen, why take our chances going overtime? We have the ball. It's only 2 yards. We can't get 2 yards.
Because why are you throwing the football at a shotgun?
Well, that's another thing.
First and goal to go from the 1 yard line after the penalty.
That to me is the problem. If you have Derrick Henry for a reason, like you telling me he can't fall and get the touch and get 2 yards? I mean, that's what he does. That's why you drafted him as high as you drafted him. For those bringing on all those tight ends and just mash left side or right side and just let him run somebody over. So to me, I didn't like the play because I'm sitting there watching one of the receivers go in motion. I'm like, is he going to do a sweep? Is he going to do a fly sweep with this guy? Nope. He sits there and he's just dancing around trying to find somebody who's open, and he doesn't, and it doesn't work for him. So either run your running quarterback or hand it off to your tailback.
If you're the coach, Mike Vrabel, and he's done this in Tennessee so far, right, where they've gone for a bunch of things, but his big thing is, like you said, establishing toughness and being aggressive.
Yeah.
How can you not like Mike Vrabel?
You run that, that's the aggressive, tough play?
Yeah.
Shotgun slant back of the end zone, like a 4% chance of completion?
Yeah, like, you even see Vrabel, like, in pregame, he's such a hardo, like, right now. It's, like, driving crazy. Like, he's got, like, I don't know if you saw, he's got, like, the full, they have these new things, they're, like, these vests, but they're pads. And instead of holding, like, the big old-school dummy, like, the coaches put these vests on, and the players, like, block the pad, but it's strapped to them. He's got this thing on. He's got this contraption on, and he's like all in there with the offensive linemen and defensive linemen. He's going over drills with them. I'm like, all right, you're a young coach. You're kind of a smart ass. I'm sure your team really likes you because you're different than any coach they've ever had, especially a head coach. And so you're going to do things a little differently. You're going to try and empower them. Like,
yeah,
imagine,
come on, Hardo.
Imagine the celebration in the locker room. Woo! Hey, coach, the game ball goes to you for having faith in us. I was like, no. Now you got this long-ass trip back home, and you're sitting there going, why didn't we just take our chances?
Well, here's the last four drives for the Chargers. So they started, they had a hot start, obviously, hit a couple of big touchdown passes. And quite frankly, if the Titans had any decent coverage, they would have won this game outright. But they got hit for a couple of big passes. Phillip Rivers hit Tyrell Williams early, and he hit Mike Williams late, and that was it. So they get the touchdown to start the second half. From there, it was punt, field goal, punt. Their last three drives. And a total of five and six plays, respectively, on those two punts. And so you had slowed them down. You had found something. If you force overtime there by kicking an extra point, you stop them once and hit one play, a field goal wins the game, Christian. So what does Mike Vrabel tell his team? So I get physical and tough is one thing, and balls. But
I can say what
smart.
He's
going to
say.
It's not smart.
What was it? Who was it? God, Indianapolis coach, Frank Wright. You know, he does something
another
similar.
Moronic. Decision.
Another first year head coach. You know what he says? 10 times out of 10, I'm going to go for that play.
We're going to establish a culture.
I love my guys. I have faith in my guys. And your guys are sitting there going, dude, I'd rather you not have faith in us and have a win. Like, be smarter than that. We like you. You don't have to show us how. You don't have to try and ingratiate yourself. We get it. We'll play cards later, right? To me, that is a first year head coach making a bold move. Like, that's what it is. It's not necessarily smart.
Dumb.
You know, it's a bold move, and usually the two don't go hand in hand. Like, bold and smart, they don't go together. They usually bold and stupid go together. At least that's what I've been told.
Well, I like that. We'll get our final break. Come back. This is the portion of the program. Remind Christian Take a couple minutes. We need pick. We need picks when we come
back.
Oh,
I got some picks for you.
Oh, you do?
I reminded him earlier.
How about that?
Yeah.
We'll get Fourier's picks and we'll get you set for 1 o'clock here on WEEI.
You're listening to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio WEEI.
I will take the Chiefs plus the 3.5 tonight. Game. The Chiefs winning a high-scoring affair, and they win the game outright.
One of those weird times where I think the Patriots win. I wouldn't take Chiefs money line.
Pats win, but Chiefs cover. Who does Fourier like for that game?
Pats win, Chiefs absolutely cover.
Steven Gostkowski wins the shootout for the New England Patriots.
I'm going to chase the late money today. I'm going to go against Brock Osweiler and the Dolphins. Give me the Bears minus 7.5.
Yeah.
At Miami, a chance to bet that defense against Brock Osweiler.
No, that's a good pick.
Okay, that's the wrong answer. I'll explain why in a second.
I'm going to take, even though I love the Rams and the Rams are undefeated, the Broncos in a snow game.
Ooh, it's a big time snow game. Yes.
They are getting 7 points. That is a big time home dog for the snowy Broncos.
You like a home dog.
So give me the Broncos plus 7.
I can't help it if people are wrong.
Yeah, go ahead and lock it up if you need to. That's fine.
Ravens, 2 points to the Titans. Neither one of those teams look like they could score. I'll take the Ravens, 2 points over the Titans.
That game blows.
I'm a genius.
I'm going to take the Texans, 8.5 over Buffalo.
God damn it!
I like that. I will go Tampa plus 3 on the road against the Falcons. Right. Jameis Winston is back. Famous James, big.
Yeah.
Famous Jameis game today. I'm an idiot and I'm wrong.
I've been hitting a lot of Browns recently. Break up the Browns. They're at home. This is a nice game for them. They're a 1-point favorite.
A nice game for them?
Essentially a pick 'em. They're at home. I don't know. You ever heard of a West Coast team coming east? They don't do all that well. Not at the 1 o'clock starts, Mutt. So give me the Cleveland Browns to win over the LA Chargers.
Get your ass back there, you fucking goofball.
I like that production a lot better when I don't go 1-2. You said I was 0-3, but I had the Chiefs plus 3.5.
I always thought we were doing winners and the spread.
Well, we're just doing the spread. That's all that matters. Who cares who wins? 1-2. NFL Sunday. Mutt and Keith. Keith not here. 4A is here today down in our Best Yet broadcast booth there in Foxborough, getting you set for the 1 o'clock games. And obviously after the game, the real post-game show. With the defense is slow, Freddie. Freddie, the defense is slow. That's your get today after
I'm looking at Smurlus breaking down Sox Dodgers, too.
Well, that'll be good. I look forward to it. I'll be locked into that this afternoon. The number we're going to use for the Patriots right now is Patriots are 2-point favorites at Chicago. I'm going to take I'm going to let you guys go first. I'm going to go last in this. Christian, who are you taking today?
I'm going to take the Bears.
Bears win. A final score for us?
I'm going to go, what did I say earlier, Ryan? I can't remember whatever I said on Friday. Something like 28-something, 28-24, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, close like that.
All right, we'll pull close that out.
Both ends.
Who does Keith have in this one?
So Keith has, hold on.
Oh, Jesus, Mary.
I had to make it up. He actually said Jingle Keys. He likes the Patriots, 1.5 points. He also has Redskins, Cowboys. You got Redskins plus 1.
Okay.
And Ravens, Saints today. He has Ravens with a 2.5 point.
I'm going to think the Bears 30-27. They have the ball last. I can't 4 hours talk about their offense and defense and then not pick them. Come back to bite me. I'll take the Bears 30-27. I will take the. Where's my other two picks here? I can't. Oh, I'm going to give me Baker Mayfield on the road getting 3.5 points at Tampa. Tampa burned me last week. I'm going to Baker Mayfield and Cleveland at Tampa getting 3.5 points. And I will take Minnesota on the road against the Jets. They're laying a bunch, like 3.5 over the New York Jets. Lock all those things up.
Okay.
All
right. Well, I'm going to go Buffalo Bills at Indy. The Bills are literally starting. Who is it?
Derek Anderson.
Derek Anderson. All right. I just signed him a week ago. I'm going to take the Colts in this one.
Smart play.
The Lions and the Dolphins. Detroit coming off a bye, Miami coming off a game where they really put up a lot of points, feeling good about themselves. I'm picking the Lions.
Excellent job. We'll be back. Are we off next week?
I believe we are.
Ooh, with the London game we're going to have here on WEEI.
London game and a Monday night, the Buffalo, Nate Peterman's against the Patriots.
Okay. Well, either way, we are back this week. Christian will be out in L.A. Joining Red Sox and Dodgers for the World Series. Good stuff, Christian. Enjoy the games today.
All right, boys.
Garvin, Eamon, excellent job by you. More sports talk coming up. And then after the games, after Patriots-Bears, real post-game show. Glenn, Freddie, Steve here on WEEIC.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.